Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Elder Carolus.
Good day, Zama. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Awesome, thank you.
Lovely. Great to have you on the line. Now, we're continuing with our discussion, recognizing and responding to spiritual prompting. You know, on his final evening, Christ told his disciples, and he says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." Now, that's coming from John 14, 16, 17. Now, from the context of this passage and other related passages, we know that the advocate here is the Holy Spirit, as it were. Now, Christ promises us that the Holy Spirit will always be with us. But does that mean the walk of faith is smooth and problem-free? And this is what we actually want to be deciphering this afternoon. So, What are some of the challenges that one might face when trying to follow the Holy Spirit's prompting?
Well, we can look at the example of the Old Testament. You know, Paul says that those things were written for our sake, those of us who are living in the end times. So there's a few things that the prophets faced, you know, like fear was one of them, fear of specific fear of rejection or failure. Jeremiah 1, verse 6 to 8, Jeremiah says, "Then said I, Oh Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. And the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee shalt thou speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." The same Jeremiah also says at one point that he decided not to do what God has asked him to do, and that was to speak the word. And he decided to keep quiet because he was being ridiculed all the time. So fear of rejection, fear of failure is definitely a challenge. Then there's things like the conflict with human logic, you know, in other words, the Holy Spirit is telling us through the word to do something, but we try and reason things out with human logic, and sometimes that becomes a barrier to us actually following the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Things like, we say things like, "No man, but is this really, how is this going to happen? You know, this doesn't make sense to me." So that could also pose a challenge. Obviously, opposition from others. Sometimes you also find in a church setting, especially, you find the Holy Spirit. You believe that the Holy Spirit is prompting you. You have opened yourself up to the Holy Spirit. You've done what needs to be done to be able for the Holy Spirit to be able to speak to you. But then you find yourself in a minority. In a church setting, you know, and you wonder, and you ask yourself, is this really? Is the Holy Spirit speaking to me, or is he speaking to those the others? You know, with maybe some loggers in the church setting. So that may also be. So people who tend to, you know, rather keep quiet and not act on what the Holy Spirit is prompting them to say or do. There's also a lack of understanding. You know, Elijah at one point, James says that Elijah was a man with like passions such as we have. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, after having had such a great spiritual victory on Mount Carmel, Elijah really felt alone. But Elijah couldn't understand and did not understand because his sight was limited, you know. He was focusing on his own situation. And then God has to remind him that there are also others that God had, who was also, because Elijah said, "I am alone," he was saying, you know, and he was about to go into depression. But because we as humans sometimes focus on local, the local aspect of things, just around me and myself, we constantly bust our noses. And so that lack of understanding, the lack of vision, I should even say, can also lead to us not following the Spirit's prompting. In fact, Elijah gets to a point where the Lord has, up to that point, the Lord was saying, through the Spirit, go there. And Elijah would go there. And then the Lord would say, go there. And you'd go there. And he was happy when he did that. But when he went into this feeling of loneliness, he ends up in a place, and the Lord asks him in 1 Kings 19, what are you doing here? As if, who told you to come here? You know, so, those feelings can definitely be a challenge to us. And then, of course, with that, especially in relation to our relation to other people, we are often prompted by the Holy Spirit to act in a certain way towards someone. And we also then focus on the person, especially when they're in opposition to us. But the Bible reminds us in Ephesians 6, verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So don't focus on the flesh and blood that's before you, but think greater. Think climactically. Think on a greater scale, on a grander scale. Think great controversy scale. We are fighting principalities and powers and the rulers of this of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, so these are some of the challenges. But the Bible does give us in each of these, as I've already shown, the Bible does provide solutions to get through these challenges and still follow the Spirit no matter what happens.
Lovely. And I think I like what you said much earlier when you were saying sometimes a person would hear that prompting, but they is rather scared to follow that route and maybe worried about what are the others going to say, and so they decide then not to. So I am glad that you are saying that no, follow the Spirit. Now, having said that, my elder, how can we create a space for spiritual promptings in our daily lives? I mean, but sometimes we just live our lives and stuff like that, and we never hear His voice. How can we create that space for those promptings?
We are told that in Acts chapter 5, we are told that the Spirit is given to those who obey. And the obedience is obedience to God's law. Psalm 1 verse 2 says that the true Christian's delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law does he meditate day and night. So the first thing you have to do is to schedule time, good time for Bible study, daily scripture study, you know. And then, of course, with scripture goes 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, which says, pray without ceasing. The Holy Spirit's promptings become more clearer when we are in constant communion with God. And so we approach God and we ask. You know, we ask, we seek, we knock. If we ask for the Holy Spirit, Zechariah chapter 10 says that we will then receive the Holy Spirit. So, and that reception of the Holy Spirit is in a great measure. So prayer, Bible study, prepares us for the promptings. Becoming silent, Psalm 46 verse 10. My wife's favorite, Zama, she's in Pretoria at this time, and she's returning tonight. But this is her favorite verse, you know. Be still and know that I am God. And sometimes we need to become quiet. You know, that still small voice needs to speak. And we need to listen, so we need to find a way to quiet the other noises, you know, those challenges we spoke of earlier. Even the voices within, we need to quiet them down. Everything of us need to be quiet. And that being still, and know that I'm God, that being still means to surrender to Him completely. At that point, we will then be able to hear and accept the promptings of the Spirit. Mm. And so one beautiful aspect about the Sabbath brings to us, you know, the joy of being in God's presence. The Sabbath should be a commemoration of the whole week, in the same way it was a commemoration of the creation week. it should also be like that for us every week, where we in a special sense communing with God, you know, and hopefully we are in a place where there's others who are like-minded, who have also surrendered, who are also studying, who are also constantly in prayer, and who know what it means to surrender all to God. When we are with people like that, you know, the Sabbath becomes a spiritual high experience where the Spirit is moving from heart to heart, from mouth to ear, you know. And yeah, so those are ways in which you can actually prepare yourself for the promptings and open yourself up to the promptings of the Holy Spirit.
Mm. Now, we are told that Christ was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. And now we also pray, lead us not into temptation. Can the Holy Spirit tempt us, really? Or lead us into temptation?
Well, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted, not yes. led him to temptation.
Semantics, that, though. Semantics. Is that not
that
semantics, Spirit, though? Is that not semantics,
that?
Though? Is that not semantics, though? Led him to be tempted or led him to temptation? Same thing, really. Different. Same coin, different sides, truly.
Well, if the verse said that the Holy Spirit led him to temptation, then it's the Holy Spirit doing the tempting. But the Holy Spirit led him to be tempted. That opens up the possibility of the temptations coming from elsewhere. But it is true that the Holy Spirit led him there with the understanding that there is going to be tempted.
Which is the
and
same
so,
thing.
Which is not the same thing, Zama. You know, you and I, we're always clashing sometimes. But that's good also because it allows us to also think broader. But yeah, I always enjoy speaking to you, man, because you challenge, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So, but again, the Holy Spirit did not lead him to temptation, which is the prayer that we pray, lead us not into temptation, but the Holy Spirit did lead him to the wilderness, and there he was tempted. And the purpose was also that he's tempted so that he can overcome and overcome where we as men have failed, especially Adam, because the first temptation was, of course, had to do with appetite. But to continue So that's one way that the Holy Spirit leads. He leads us to places where we can shine for God. He leads us to outside of our comfort zones. He leads us to denial of self, because that's what the fast was all about. And so when we allow him to lead us this way, then we open ourselves also up to the other ways that he leads, which is through the Bible. You know, John 16, verse 13, as you read earlier, says, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. John 16, verse 13. We also find in the Bible, Joel 2, verse 28, the Holy Spirit in these last days will also speak through dreams or visions. And I'm reading, and it shall come to pass afterward, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. So dreams and visions is also how the Holy Spirit in the past and in the future will speak and prompt us. Of course, we need to test the spirits at all times. And we spoke about that earlier in the week, how to test the Spirit. Is he speaking according to the Bible, or is the Spirit that is speaking to us or prompting us, is it speaking contrary to the Bible? And so we need to test our dreams and visions as well. Of course, the Spirit, like we just said, speaks to us through circumstances, you know. He leads Jesus into the wilderness. Jesus is tempted. But the promises of God for us is Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I would almost want to say to them who are spiritually prompted to his purpose. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit also speaks to us. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me, Pastor? Oh, I am an elder. Can you hear me? I can hear the sounds there.
Hello?
I can hear you, my elder. Can you hear me?
Oh, I think I may have lost you.
I can hear you. I've not lost you at all, actually. Can you hear me? All right. I think I'm not
sure. Did I lose you?
Yeah, well, I have not lost you at all. Maybe I should actually try and get a hold of him once again, because I can hear him loud and clear. I'm not sure what is happening over there. Can you hear me now, my elder?
Oh, okay. I can hear you now.
Yeah, I could hear you all the time.
I suppose I lost, or you lost me. I was just talking about dreams and visions. When I went off, and I quoted Joel 2 verse 28, and then of course I quoted Romans 8 verse 28. Through circumstances, through providence, God also speaks to us, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are spiritually prompted according to His purpose, those who are called according to His purpose. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit can also speak through through godly people, in counsel with godly people. You know, I remember the son of Solomon, when he was being prompted by the younger men to make to heavily tax the people, and the older men were saying, "Don't do so." He followed the younger men, and because of that, the kingdom was divided. So, seeking godly counsel is also very important for us.
Very important indeed. I agree with you 100%. My elder, I must thank you so much for your time. In summary, for those who may have just joined us on the tail end, what's the most important not to forget in our conversation today?
I think that we should cultivate openness to the Holy Spirit. And how do we do this? Romans 12, verse 1 to 2 says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And then Galatians 5, 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh."
Beautiful indeed. Thank you so much, my elder. We'll connect to you one last time tomorrow, same time and same place.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Zama. And also, God bless all the hearers.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.